handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. It is 8:45 a.m. on Monday, November 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2020. Law work, new assignment, 10:30 a.m. So I said, you know what? Why not do the podcast early? With instead of nuts and tea, I just finished some eggs and blueberries. And that's how I start the day, folks. I start the day every day. This is the warped optimism of J.L. Covan. Maybe that should be one of my books that I come out with once I become successful and get, you know, major development deal and book deal, etc. I start every day saying today's the day I'm going to eat healthy. Now, I've gone through month-long stretches where I've stuck strictly to diets, but then they all collapse due to either pressure or the deliciousness of cookies and cakes. And I start every day, though. I say, today's the day I'm going to eat healthy. And almost every morning I start with a cup of black coffee, which they say is healthy for you. A couple of eggs, a couple scrambled eggs, and a cup of blueberries. That's a great way to start the day. Any diet, there's not a diet in the world except for the strictest of vegan diets that will tell you that's a bad breakfast. That's a great breakfast. Then I start chugging my water out of the gallon jug like I'm a bro at the gym. And, you know, then later in the afternoon, have some walnuts, nature's feces, as I call them. They are disgusting. I hate people who say they love walnuts. I feel like I put the people who say, oh, I love walnuts, in the same group of people who, when you ask them, oh, do you watch this show? And they go, I don't have a TV. It's a weird flex of like, I like horrible things. Walnuts are terrible, but and I do like them when people say, I like them in brownies. I mix them with cashews, which are a much more palatable nut. So I have a mixed nuts of my own making. Half walnuts, half cashews. Cashews are like, you know, cashews are cutting it. It's like raw walnut is too potent and too tastes like fucking hardened dirt, clustered dirt. But, you know, I have a cup of green tea and some walnuts, and then lunch happens, usually around 1 or 2 o'clock. And that's when the decision comes, where it's, do I have my kale salad, or do I get a sort of fruit bowl in the sweet berry shop underneath my building, which is sweet berry. It's like one of these things. It's I feel like nutritionists would be just hate these places because they're like, what I get is a bowl called Cocoa Sweet. Now, what Cocoa Sweet is, it's a base of coconut meat blended with agave and some other shit. Agave is the sweetener. excuse me. That's the base. That's like 70% of the bowl. Then what they do is they sprinkle some granola on it. but that granola is sweetened, so now it's just fucking candy. Then they dump a bunch of Nutella on it, and Nutella, I give credit to Nutella. Nutella is basically just like chocolate. It's just like, it's like somewhere between the hot fudge you put on a sundae and like a melted Hershey bar. But somehow it's like, it's a hazelnut spread, which makes it sound somehow like, and I feel like Nutella sneaks its way into a lot of healthy foods as, and it's like, but how's that healthy? So they drizzle Nutella on it, and then they top it with bananas and strawberries. So those are actual fruits. And even though they're not sort of the peak of the fruit world in terms of healthiness, that's fine. But every day I literally go through this thing of like, well, it's got fruits, so maybe I can just have a cocoa sweet for lunch instead of a salad. And if I go the cocoa sweet route, then we're off to the diabetes races, because then I'm going, hey, Cookie, you want to walk to the bakery? It's a longer walk and it's good for you, and I'll get 8 cookies and a loaf of bread. And then at night, you know, if the righteous girlfriend is working late, I end up going, I could wait for her to come home and she'll make me like a nice chicken or fish dish, or I could order some pizza or get a burger and a milkshake downstairs. And while I'm at it, well, since today's ruined, why don't I go buy some cookies as well if I didn't make it to the bakery? Or I'll go, well, I already went to the bakery, so what the fuck? Who cares if I have a burger and a milkshake? I know this day is ending with 1,000 calories of garbage going into my system. Not afraid of burning in hell. I'm not explaining that anymore, guys. You just got to listen to some back episodes if this is your first Righteous Prick experience. So that's the dilemma. So you're catching me at my peak. You're catching me at optimistic JL. Haven't read any tweets comparing me to shitty comedians eating healthy foods. I'm ready to tackle the day. So this is good. This is post-breakfast, big post-breakfast energy JL. How about that? So a lot of things working, folks. Hey, by the way, new president. Congratulations to Joe Biden. I know he listens to the podcast. But that's good news. That is good news. I hope we win 2 seats in Georgia. I think that's unlikely, but it would be awesome if we did. Because then that would give us control of the Senate. And my political advice would be, you have 2 years to help right this fucking country, and you should do everything in your fucking power to do it. You know, to quote Jesse the Body Ventura, to paraphrase Jesse the Body Ventura from Predator, I ain't got time for bipartisanship. How about that? A little Jesse Ventura, a little 80s Jesse Ventura for you guys. Yes, I know James Adomian, that's one of his signature impressions, but I think my limited Jesse Ventura is pretty good as well, so you don't have to at me with your 9 favorite comedians when you listen to this podcast. I'm just kidding, guys. You guys are the real JL fans. You don't do that shit. That was just an inside joke for all of us who appreciate JL and understand that he is basically the Kanye West of comedy, minus the bipolar and minus the toxic Kardashian family. That's pretty much what I am. So thank you. You guys understand that that was just an inside joke. You guys don't at me with bullshit. So thank you. You are appreciated, dear mama. So I think what Democrats should do, if they win the 2 seats in Georgia, is steamroll everything. Because that may sound hypocritical, okay? But let me put it in a rougher analogy. If you see Donald Trump beating an old person to death, okay? And then you shove Donald Trump off the rooftop where he's beating this old person to death and he dies, Republicans would say, my God, you're even worse than he was. Whereas sane people would say, no, that seemed about right. If it was avoidable, we would have avoided it. But you know what? It was either the guy attempting murderer would die or the innocent old person would die. So we chose to shove him off the roof before he could kill the old person. That's what I think bipartisanship is now. It's used as a weapon. It's used as a weapon whenever Democrats have power, to say, you guys aren't doing, and it's this false equivalency of like both sides. And when, you know, so what I say is Mitch McConnell's scum, the Trump supporters, the 70 million people, even Katy Perry's family are human filth. And I'm sorry if this sounds like some Rwandan radio station from the 90s. I don't mean it to sound like that. But if you vote for, if you're one of the 70 million people who voted for Donald Trump in 2020, you are garbage. I hope to never have a conversation with you. I hope to never, you know, I don't want to be around you, if we can be totally honest. But that was such a bad, that was a, see that what I just did was an example of a bad Trump impression, which abound. Some Trump impersonator, he's a fucking, he's an actor, so I don't begrudge him for not being funny, but he's fucking horrifically not funny, but he's got really good makeup and hair, and he works hard at it, so I try not to troll him, but he has his fucking, I don't know if he orders his people to do it, but every time I get a fucking viral compliment, either on Twitter or if I post a good video on YouTube, some of his fans will like tag and troll, not troll, but like be like, you guys should check him out, he's way better. And it's like, well, first of all, that's false, and secondly, get the fuck off my page, you fucking comedy ignorant fuck. But I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Thank you, by the way, Rod, of the Black Eye Tips, giving me some shout outs. Rod really understands who I am as a comedian. He has made in favorable times, he compares me to Michael Jordan manufacturing grievances to motivate him. And I think that's fair, but I think my grievances are real. And also Rod is happy that New Jersey has passed has legalized weed. And like Elliot Ness at the end of The Untouchables, R.I.P. Sean Connery, by the way, here under Thleshen. When they say to Elliot Ness at the end of The Untouchables, they go, Mr. Ness, they're saying they might repeal prohibition. What will you do then? And he says, I might have a drink. And that's how I feel about weed. I'd try it. I don't care. And maybe it will mellow me out. I don't know. But the problem is my building is a non-smoking building, and I'm a real stickler for the rules. So to me, I kind of go, where do I exactly smoke reefer if it's legalized? Like, where do I actually go to smoke this product if my building doesn't allow smoking? Which is why they're evicting my comedy career, because it's on fire. In important comedy news, I posted my Donald Trump concession speech to my main YouTube channel, youtube.com/JLCAUVIN. I assume all of you have seen it. But I think every listener of this podcast should share it on at least one social media platform. It hit over 100,000 views on its first day, and that was on a weekend, which is great. I'd love for it to get to a million or more, because I think it's that it's the best. If you've been liking the Trump content, it really is the fucking, that's it. It's a 17-minute ad lib. The only edit in it was when I had to yell at Cookie for barking. So there's one cut in the middle because I just had to stop, but it's the best. It's fucking awesome. So I know it's 17 minutes and people are like, that's too long. Some guy wrote on Twitter, on YouTube, it's so great, but way too long. And I just replied, well, is it too long or is it great? Because that seems like a fundamental complaint that would affect whether something is great or not. This is so great, but you fucking totally fucked up how much time you spent on it. If it's great, it's great. If it's too long, then it's not great. You could have said it's good, but too long. Great implies that I nailed it, you dumbass. And this is how I treat my fans, folks. It's a real abusive relationship. It's really abusive. I'm the Stanley Kowalski of comedy. How about that? A comedy car named Hate. A streetcar named Hate. So that came out. I have a couple more ideas coming out for Trump. But my real goal, hashtag squad goals, is... two things for 2021, and that's it. A comedy special or album, or both. You know, we're counting that as one thing. I'd love it for it to be both. It might be just one thing, might be a self-produced album, but that's okay. And I want to film a sketch comedy pilot. Those are my two goals, and I will finance that shit myself if need be, which feels like it will need be. And the other thing, those are like the two projects, but what I'd like to do is obviously there's plenty of people out there who'd like to see me perform live, which I'm happy for. I think if I have to self-book myself for a mini tour, I think probably you're likely to find me basically booking maybe Cleveland, you know, mostly East Coast, maybe Cleveland and Chicago, and then Boston, D.C., Philly, New York, New Jersey, I think, is probably where I'd end up starting as a... for in terms of self-booking, because I know that's where we have a lot of listeners for the Trump podcast. That's where I know I've had a lot of interaction with people. And also I have connections in several of those cities and longstanding comedy relationships in a few of those cities. So, you know, unfortunately, without an agent or a manager, that's sort of, people are always like, oh, you should have somebody book or produce for you. And I go, yeah, I know I should, but I don't. So I guess I'm going to have to do it myself. So I guess those are the three. I said two things, but I was, you know, the gigs are sort of, should it be self-evident that I would be trying to get gigs. But I guess those are the three things that I'm going to try to do for 2021. I know the album and or special will happen. It's just a question of, do I self-produce it? Probably. Do I sell it? Possibly. Possibly not. Might just have to self-distribute. And that's fine. That's what I've done for every album I've put out in my entire career. So I'm prepared for that. But for now, there's a little more Trump content. I have two ideas in particular that will come out this month that are, I would dare say superb. But I'm trying not to do, I'd like to start scaling away from the daily Trump stuff. I share my stand-up clips more now, which is good. 'Cause you know, hey, if every week 50 people of my six figures worth of fans become stand-up fans, you know, within 6 months, you know, that's several, that's a couple thousand more, you know, do the math. I'm probably wrong, but a few thousand more stand-up fans. And that's the goal. Pfizer today, I did do a Trump video today because I was trying, I believe this is exactly what he'll do, but Pfizer, the stock market is soaring and Pfizer just announced they have a vaccine that's testing at 90% effective right now. And Trump is probably so mad. And I am obviously anti-Trump and anti-conspiracy theory, but let me tell you something. There can be no doubt that Trump is going to be like, they held off on announcing these. Imagine it's Monday as I record this. Imagine the announcement 1 week ago. Although most of the early voting that was done by Democrats would already be in, but on the margins, if there were any daytime, you know, if anybody was undecided going to vote on Election Day, which of course in the aggregate there were plenty of, imagine if on Monday a week ago the announcement was Pfizer has a vaccine, 90% effective, stock market kicking ass and taking names. Oh my God, we might have a reelected President Trump. Even that's such big news that might have just given people a positive vibe. So my video this morning was just a minute long, but it was basically Trump saying, we need a revote because Michelle Pfizer clearly held this from me to ruin me. And I think it may be my best prediction yet, because I really actually feel strongly and powerfully confident that he will say that today, which would be awesome for me. And again, horrible for the country. And good on you, Pfizer, if you did hold off on those results. You don't owe the president shit. Like, I'd love it if Pfizer was like, shut the fuck up. You have the result. Shut the fuck. We're announcing this in a week. Shut the fuck up. I'm on SNL. I'm not going to talk about SNL on this one with Chappelle. We do a thorough breakdown. I was on the SNL Nerds podcast, so I will be retweeting that when they post it. But that was fun. That was like an hour and 40-minute discussion of SNL and Chappelle, and it was fun. It was fun. If you like SNL or you just like hearing me talk about comedy, go listen to that for sure. That'll save us time on this episode. I can just direct you to SNL Nerds. You know, it's on all the podcast platforms, but I will be retweeting it, so you can check my Twitter feed for that. So that's that. That takes care of that. In bad news, Cookie did not get the cover of her rescue organization's calendar. Now, Cookie is not a golden retriever. Cookie, they believed, was half golden retrievers. They thought she was a golden retriever mix when they got her as a puppy, as an abused, abandoned puppy. Turns out when we did the DNA test, she's 100% that bitch, and she's also 0% golden retriever. But she just, if you've seen pictures of her, she looks kind of like a hound Labrador mix. I was hoping she was half beagle, half Labrador, so I could call her a Beagledor and create that brand and start selling t-shirts and make a fortune creating that new breed. But it turns out she was a beagle, Australian cattle dog with a little bit of, chow, actually. Like, there's some chow in there. Somebody took a trip to China and banged a dog at an open food market, apparently. But so like Beagle and Australian Cattle Dog were the most significant influences on her. But she's not a Golden Retriever, but she was from the Golden Retriever Rescue Organization. And thanks to my fans, thank you, she got the most votes of anybody in the contest for the cover. She had already made, she's Miss May in the calendar, but she received the most votes for the cover. And it was because of a massive come-from-behind operation. It was very similar to Joe Biden's win. There was this Golden Retriever, not the best Golden Retriever in the bunch, to be honest. It was a lower-tier Golden Retriever. Was way out ahead, like 180 votes just to start. Well, by the end of the votes, we had built up like a 75-vote lead on that. Cookie had come close to 600 votes. They announced the cover today, and it's the second place voter. So this is some rescutorial college bullshit. And, you know, it's discriminating, I think. I think they said, we don't want a non-golden on the cover of our calendar. I think this is discrimination. That's what I think it is. I think Cookie's new name is now Cookie Hillary. Instead of Crooked Hillary, I'm going to call Cookie Hillary as a tribute to that unfairly maligned victim of our poisonous politics and bigotry and sexism in this country. And I will say this, watching Joe Biden celebrate and Kamala Harris celebrate made me very happy. But I really did feel bad for Hillary. And I know there's so many people. What I like is that she has so many supporters and people who admire her that it's okay. You know, she has a lot. She has plenty of money. She's a talented, smart person who accomplished a lot. And she has many, many supporters who will rue 2016 till the day they die. But it's hard not to feel sorry for. I do feel sorry for her, and I feel sorry for this country, for the people that supported her, either begrudgingly or more so for those who did it enthusiastically, because this could have been avoided. You just sort of wonder, like, what was the point of all this? To prove a point? Well, you fucked yourself. You voted for Trump and fucked yourself. Whether you know it or not is another thing, but it's insane. It's insane. And we would have been a better world and a better country. And 537 votes on HBO. It's, I guess, on demand and on HBO Max now. Really, really, really entertaining documentary about this. But it points out at the end, spoiler, God, we had a chance for Al Gore, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. And maybe that would have been the order. That might have been the order of presidents. If, like, Gore wins two terms, then maybe Obama doesn't emerge as some sort of savior for the economy. Then perhaps it's... Or maybe a Republican comes in if the economy tanks under Gore. But I think Democratic policies would have not led to the war and perhaps as abusive housing policies and all those things. But can you imagine if the last 20 years we had two terms of Al Gore, two terms of Obama or Clinton, and a term of Obama and Clinton going into re-election this year? That is such a fundamentally different world and such a better place and a potentially healthier planet. Those are, when you talk about Hillary Clinton and Al Gore, you're talking about insanely intelligent, forward-thinking, experienced people. Like, these are not just run-of-the-mill fucks. Al Gore and Hillary Clinton are cream of the crop intellectually and experience-wise. And instead of them, it would be one thing. It was like, well, we got Mitt Romney and John McCain, okay? So experienced people with good government experience. Mitt Romney, a true business leader. Two men who seem to have decency at their core, even if their political acumen is sometimes off. But we didn't get even them. We got the worst. We got George Bush, who was a bad president, but maybe not a horrible human being, but a bad president. And then we got a horrible human being and an awful president. That's what we traded. We didn't just trade for like the Republican version of leadership and talent and experience. We traded for the worst the Republican Party has to offer, possibly ever. And that's fucking crazy. Like Reagan, say what you will about Reagan's policies, you know, the man could inspire like that. He didn't inspire by, doing everything short of screaming racial slurs. He did inspire with great speeches and powerful rhetoric. Like at least that's something. They called him the great communicator. He fucking deserved it. He was an actor. He should be able to communicate, but at least you can see. Well, I get why America kind of loved Reagan for a while because, you know, hey, he could, just like Obama made comparisons to Reagan, of course, not in policy, but he looked at Reagan in terms of how he inspired as something that was a valuable leadership tool. We got Bush and Trump. This world would be a legitimately better, safer place, healthier, with 20 years plus of that leadership versus what we got. It's incredible when I think of it. But I can't help but feel a little bad for Hillary Clinton. And she probably, I mean, I'd love for somebody, I felt like, it bothers me that there's no, and I know people consider her brand too divisive. Even if they don't think she's divisive, they know that her political brand is divisive. But my God, it would be nice for somebody to fucking shout her out. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. It would be nice for her to get a shout out because she warned us and she tried to prevent what we've experienced. And she's been a strong, loyal, powerful voice in the Democratic Party. Everybody wants to suck off the teat of AOC, me included. But I'm just kidding. I don't know. There's such a disrespect for Hillary Clinton, and I just don't like it. She deserves a shout out. I know it's but like. I don't get it. It feels disrespectful, and my radar for disrespect is always very highly attuned and sensitive. But it'd be nice for somebody to just say something nice about Hillary Clinton. Maybe she doesn't care, but it's like she fought the good fight, and she would have prevented this. We're now in recovery. We're in cleanup mode, but she was in prevention mode for a lot of this shit. So it's unfortunate, but. Who knows? We'll see what happens. And shout out to Stacey Abrams, who, of course, I've been vocally supporting for basically this whole year. I wanted her to be vice president. And look at the work she did. So hopefully she has laid the groundwork to be to kick Brian Kemp's fucking ass out of the governor's mansion in 2022. That I hope that happens because nobody's earned it more than her. She has earned it with real work, not tweets.
We'll see. I got interviewed for this book on, I guess, the Trump years, and I wrote this shorter version of it on Twitter. But I said politically, I'll try not to be. We'll move on after this. But I said, what I fear in this country is, I think divided government will actually be a good thing for short-term safety in this country. Because I think nothing will get done. So there will be less ability to pull a Tea Party 2.0, which will be, for instance, if Joe Biden gets the Senate, which I hope he does, but here's what I'm suggesting might happen. Joe Biden gets the Senate. They get Susan Collins and Mitt Romney to agree on some stuff, but a lot of the time it's 50-50 with Kamala Harris providing the tie-breaking vote. Whether it be judges, whether it be policy, they bring and occasionally they have to bring in Joe Manchin, which I'm annoyed with Manchin all the time. But the fact is, that's fucking West Virginia. Like, you can either have Joe Manchin agree with you 70% of the time, or you can have some shit kicker Republican who agrees with you 0% of the time. Like, it is what it is. He's in fucking West Virginia. Like, but you might have to bring him in on some climate change stuff. Okay, but. What I would suggest you do is you fucking steamroll for 2 years, as I said before. You steamroll every 51-50 vote you can get. Because at least if you lose the House and the Senate in 2 years, yeah, we'll hit a real nasty stalemate after that. But Joe Biden will be there for another 2 years holding the fort, preventing bullshit from being undone. And then you have a presidential election and he either runs again or you run a next generation sort of talent. No disrespect to Kamala Harris, but I still think Pete Buttigieg and Stacey Abrams are the Democratic Party from 2024 to 2032. That's what I think, but I could be wrong. But you steamroll everything you can because that's what you have to do. And then you're going to have a Tea Party 2.0. Let's say you pass the Green New Deal or some version of it. Well, the Koch brothers and the Trump organization are going to form an unholy alliance because they're not even allies, but they will form an unholy alliance like they did to get Amy Coney Barrett on the court. And they will generate a much more frightening, radical Tea Party 2.0, a more militia infused spirit to the Tea Party, more guns, possibly more violence, not just racist signs. And that's scary. And I think that's the price that will be paid if we get the Senate. If we are able to make the necessary changes, we will have a radicalized Trump Tea Party 2.0. If we have divided government, we will accomplish none of the big things that need to be done in terms of climate change, health care, potentially the economy, as Mitch McConnell will intentionally drag his feet and try to ruin the Biden presidency, as they said, you know, murder it in its crib, which I believe is what he wanted to do the Obama presidency. And we will have nothing done, and we will be in much longer term danger for our planet, for our health, for our society. But we may avoid the short term radical danger of a Tea Party, a Trump Tea Party 2.0. I sound like fucking Tom Friedman trying to like coin phrases. He's always doing that. He goes on every interview and he'll say like the same phrase 9 times, and then it'll come out in his column 3 days later. And then like a year later, you're like, this is my book. And it has the same title of everything I've been saying repeatedly, trying to brand it. He's always trying to brand things. It's very funny. He doesn't acknowledge it, but he definitely is always trying to like come up with, I once did many years ago. I once like sent him a GIF on Twitter that was like, you know, from Mean Girls where they say, fetch, stop trying to make fetch happen. That's what I feel about like a lot of his columns. Although I do enjoy some of his reading, writing for sure. So there's your political talk. I've given you my career update. Trying to think if there's anything else to discuss. I think I've laid off most of the grievances. My strongest grievance was for Cookie's rescue organization that is discriminating against her for not being a golden retriever. But you know what? The rules are the rules. And she was a dog rescued by the organization. She's a pretty dog. And she won the most votes. So this is some bullshit. It actually makes me mad. And I think this is where Rod's point comes in, that JL's always looking for a grievance. His fuel is grievance. And I guess it is. I'm in the worst of both worlds. I run on Trump-like grievance, but I caucus. I have Trump grievance, but I caucus with the progressive left. And that's why I have no future in comedy or politics. what else? I think we can make this a short episode. I still got enough time to read the paper before work and send out some tweets and do some important things for my career. I've been taking a long time to read. I'm still reading this biography on Mohammed bin Salman because I barely read anymore. I need a commute. I need a vacation, and I need road work because I love reading. I'll read for hours on a fucking Amtrak, and it's heaven to me. But you know, I don't feel like saying, okay, lunch break, eat my salad and read a book on the couch for a half hour. It just doesn't, it feels weird. God, I just want to read more, and I'm just not reading. And it's just, everybody is dealing with this, I'm sure. This is such a fucking weird world we're in right now, and it's very sad. But let's hope that Pfizer vaccine works. Let's hope we can get out there, because I'd love to go do the road, produce a special, see movies, and not be so fat in 2021. So, and I have my checkup on Wednesday. So next week, look forward to a health update from JL. Let's hope I am healthy. I don't know what it is. I mean, with my uncle passing, I think he was, you know, he was 71. So, you know, that's obviously older than 41. But yeah, now I get now I'm in that place where I get nervous. I hate this. As a kid, I had no fear. I went on roller coasters. As soon as I was tall enough, I was like the youngest person on roller coasters by like 3 years because I was so tall. But man, I loved going. I had no fear of anything. And then I just got old and I'm a fearful bitch now. And going to the doctor, it's just like, it's like, it used to be like, going to the doctor, let's see how healthy I am. He's going to tell me my blood pressure is like, your heart's barely beating. You are insane. Now it's like, I go to the doctor and I'm like, please, no bad news. Just give me another year before you give me bad news. It's not a way to live, guys. So, and I think my health is going to be terrible this year because, you know, this is the first year that I wake up with, like, you know, my heart racing. I think some of that's social media, some of that's my grievance-filled style of comedy career. And, you know, being unhealthy and eating not great most of the time and being cooped up. So I'm sure a lot of people will have bad health numbers this year, but I hope this is the bottom of it. I hope this is the worst it gets and that we move on up from here. And signed up for my benefits package at work for next year. Added that dental and vision, which really costs nothing. I should have had it anyway. it's like $30 pre-tax off of each paycheck, which is sort of stupid that I didn't do it to begin with. But, you know, I actually need vision care because my dad had glaucoma and we've been, you know, me and my brother, they've been recommending to us, like, yeah, you should get annual eye exams with a history like that. And then you're like, but I'm cool. And then you're like, oh, wait, I'm not 26. I'm fucking 41 and I'm fat. Like, guys, I said I was going to be more positive, but there's nothing to be positive about. It's all downhill. I feel like I'm all day. I got one more run in me. I got to lose this weight, go on tour, and see if I can make a fucking go of it as a comedian after all this time. And I think I can. But first, like, so expect a training montage video from me in 6 months. We'll start filming it today. Like, here's JL fat. Here he is running. Here he is hurting his knee. Here he is lying on the couch, depressed that his knee hurts, eating fudge-covered Oreos. Here he is going down to the gym in his building. Here's somebody in his gym coughing and not wearing a mask in the gym like they're supposed to. Here's JL going back upstairs, cursing and sending out angry tweets while he eats a slice of pizza because he can't work out. Here's JL logging in at 405 pounds. Anyway, I think that's good enough for this week. So thank you for listening, guys. Always appreciate it. Please give it a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as they say, the artist formerly known as iTunes. Check out that SNL Nerds podcast. And if you haven't already, please, and thank you for your votes for Cookie, by the way. But if you haven't already, please sign up for my newsletter on my website. I haven't even sent one out yet. It will be monthly at most and probably not even that frequently. But you go to the homepage of my brand new website, jlcovan.com or jlcomedy.com if you're not into spelling French names. Either one will take you to my site. And sign up for the newsletter at the bottom of the homepage. That way any Twitter algorithms or any shit like that won't fuck you over. So when people go, you know, it's like I'll tweet like, hey, I'm going to be in Philadelphia, and I tweet and share videos, and I'm like 9 notices in 3 weeks, and then like I'm leaving Philadelphia, and I'm like, great time, Philadelphia, and then 2 people will write to me like, you were in Philly? What the fuck? I'm like, I don't know who to reach out, everyone to reach out to. I can just only say that I tweeted it 38 times with 4 video clips and did morning radio in Philly, et cetera, et cetera. So other than that, I don't. So the algorithm, don't let the algorithm fuck you. The algorithm is gonna get you. That's probably too long a title, but yeah. So check that out. Sign up and have a great week, guys. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I will see you next Tuesday.